CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. And kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
CKUW 95.9 FM, located out of downtown Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I have to say, this episode is phenomenal. Thank you so much. Once again, we have a shout out. The Calyx Instagram, THE.CALYX. Seamus O'Brien Moore, my good friend, wow, you're phenomenal photography and videography skills. I keep doing what you're doing, buddy. You're really good at what you do. Thank you so much.
Is mayonnaise an instrument?
No, Patrick, mayonnaise is not an instrument.
You know what to do with that big fat butt? Wiggle, wiggle. What's so great about dumb old Texas?
What did you say?
Texas is dumb?
Don't you dare take the name of Texas in vain!
You mean you can't say anything bad about dumb old Texas?
No! You can't say nothing about Texas!
I'm a motorcycle nigga.
Thank you so much, Betty Rumbles, for that amazing shout recommendation. Over at Ben Fox Pyramid Cabaret. Now, I'm not sure if anybody knows this, but the Pyramid has had some amazing class acts over the years. They've been around for quite some time. A couple of the artists I've asked, now the top favorite ever was the Blues Traveler. Blues Traveler. The second best Pyramid show would be the Bachman Turner Overdrive. This would have been over 20 years ago. April Wine has played the Pyramid, although their best songs of the night were more of their B-hits, which is surprising. Mostly rock bands play their number ones, but the Pyramid's also had Wu-Tang Clan solo members play throughout the years. I was recently informed. I know I have missed these shows. I miss these events. Always go.
Motherfucking DJ Nugget. This is your host, Eric Sturman, speaking, coming from downtown Winnipeg. Hostility and Nihility, 2 to 3 hours of Monday Metal Madness. A segment brought to you from CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
¿Qué tal, mis panas? Les saluda León Gómez, productor y conductor del programa Emo Rock and Metal, edición Metal Underground, que transmite a través de la señal online de Mente Mental Radio de Sequito, Ecuador. Y también presentador del programa Rock Interview, que transmite a través de la señal digital de Radio Star TV Digital en Ecuador. Y quiero enviarle un saludo fraterno y afectuoso allá en Canadá a mi querido amigo y colega Heretic Eric, productor y conductor del programa Hostility and Nihility, que transmite a través de la estupenda señal de Chub 95.5 FM. Y mi total afecto y cariño a su increíble audiencia que se conecta en cada uno de sus programas. Un fuerte abrazo desde Quito, Ecuador.
Planet of Eric. Radio segment. Step into the orbit. Planet of Eric, where reality blends and frequencies collide. Hosted by Eric, this segment explores the outer edges of underground sound, subculture, and creative rebellion. Each episode dives deep into the worlds of experimental bass, rhythm, tarot, and dubstep. Raw local energy, blending interviews, live mixes, and unpredictable commentary that challenge the mainstream and celebrate the fringe. From Winnipeg's underground to the world beyond, Planet of Eric is more than a show. It's a transmission from a different frequency. Expect distortion, discovery, and a dose of chaos. Broadcasting from the underground, Planet of Eric takes you deeper into sound, art, and subculture. Tune in, lock in, raw energy every episode. CKUW 95.9 FM, Heretic Eric speaking, Hostility and Nihility, 2 to 3 hours of intense music. Here we have, in the studio here actually, we have Diced Up.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Oh, man, it's actually a pleasure having you here in the studio. I've been trying to get you down and this is absolutely amazing. So I've been following you with all your shows. You did the Chop Shop with Riddipeg, White Raven, Hexcrema, your buddy Lemur, and Kobe San, September 20th, Club Happenings. Followed up 2 days later, you had a lock-in night out edit release. There was a bit of waiting for Scream there. There wasn't a bit. But then you coming around with November 1st, Beanie Bop events, mixing D&B and dubstep, featuring, again, White Raven, Laser Goblin, Tap House. Of course, Diced Up was headlining.
It's been a pretty wild few months, honestly. I've really been like focusing on doing what I want to do lately. That includes just making edits that I want to make. And all these events have been awesome. Like Beanie Bops, she came into the scene this year, and she's been putting on some pretty cool shows. I've been really happy to be a part of a couple of them. And another one coming up in January. So she's been doing great for the city, and these events have been awesome. Chop Shop was my first official headline in the city, and that show was great. The turnout was awesome, and Kobe and Riddipeg are another group to be watching out for in the city. So I've been really happy and waiting for more. I'm eager to produce more over the winter and just get myself ready for a big year next year.
That is absolutely amazing. It's so happy to finally we're getting some, like, I'm floored. It's the turnaround. We have to give a shout out everybody to Riddipeg, follow them on Instagram, and Beanie Bop's events. I've been to a whole bunch of the shows now with your origin. Diced Up. Kobe was here back, did an interview, and he did let me know that you were a chef, so I'm not going to ask you where you got your name from.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But what first pulled you towards dubstep, and what did you know you wanted to make it yourself?
Okay, so the road to dubstep actually was very long. I started out as a house boy. I started out liking Melbourne House, which is a specific region of house that comes from Australia. Some of the notable artists there would be like Dioro, TJR, a lot of the old head stuff. But I ended up meeting my now fiance and soon to be wife in the late 2016. And she was really big into trap. So she kind of got me rolling on the dubstep scene. And from there, I kind of took off. I just took it way, way stronger than she did. If she hears this, I'm sorry, but I'm the dubstep guy now. And I've just been grasping everything. I love what's new and fresh. I try to play everything that's new in my sets. So I'm always watching for new releases on SoundCloud. I try to make a good following with like other artists so that I can get new songs from them. And now I'm just kind of in deep and I won't go back because I just like the genre so much. And it's like, I was a drummer as well. I played in a rock band a little bit in high school, and I also played in a jazz band in junior high. So a lot of my roots come from drumming, and just the kind of link between like metal drumming and the dubstep drums, it just really drew me to dubstep and how hard and aggressive it is. And now I'm just like totally in.
I can step, when I'm seeing you perform, I can really see that when you're on the channel mixers and you're, I can feel like you're that drummer. You're really going, you're really hitting it hard.
If you ever watch me play, something to kind of watch that people might not see is you should watch my feet, because I'm always tapping my foot. And whenever I have the BPM going or whenever I have something playing, I'm always tapping in the BPM range.
Oh, man.
Like, just to keep the tempo.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Your internal, like, but the your stage presence, holy. Wow.
I just love the music so much.
No, and like there's some like DJs that'll just stand there, but like you're totally in it. You're like moving with the sound. You're moving the sound and you're moving yourself and you're inspiring everybody to move too.
That's one of the big things about my project is like when I first started playing shows, you know, there were some nerves there, but I still found myself loving it just as much as anybody that would have been in the crowd just because it's the music. I'm playing the music that I like.
Oh, for sure.
So for me, it's just exciting to be up there and like, you know, you're up there with a great sound system and you're up there with all your friends. And it's just such an exciting experience. So I can't explain how like exhilarating it is to just play.
And some of your tracks are being played over in festivals in the States. Your buddy Excision, you had some shout outs in Lost Lands, I believe, right?
Yeah. So last year was my first official big playout. Jessica Ottefred, she owns A Records and she's been a legend in the scene. She played out two of my tracks at Lost Lands last year. And then coming full circle to this year, I had Excision play out. That was the first time Excision had ever played out my music was this year. He played out one of my songs at Bass Canyon, which was the first time I had heard about that. And then I was actually attending Dance Festopia in September, which is a relatively known festival now, but it's in Kansas City, Missouri. And I was there, and I was there with all my friends and my fiance, and that was the first time I ever got to hear my music played out live. And by arguably my biggest idol, Excision, and that was easily the greatest moment of my career so far. So
that, you know, I'm the speechless.
You know, I was speechless at the moment too. I was just I was floored because totally.
Caught a video actually of Subtronics playing one of your lock-in edit.
So I've had my doubts about that one, and I will say that I'm not sure if it's my edit.
Oh.
Because he, you know, the original song sounds very similar to my edit. He hasn't officially downloaded it yet. But I'm trying to make
it. Like it.
Yeah, he might have done a double or something that is similar. So there could be some inspiration there. But as far as right now stands, I don't actually think he has my edit. But I'm working on it. I've been trying to grill it into his DMs. And like, I really think that it's something that like I could see him playing if the opportunity came.
Well, maybe this message gets to him.
Send it around.
Now, like, COVID's done a lot. It's now like 5 years, like whatever. But like, where do you see the dubstep going? The scene with your Winnipeg, with like Winnipeg Beanie Bops.
So, but pre-COVID era, dubstep was taking a pretty good swing. We had events. We had lots of big names coming in at the time. You know, Eptic, Must Die, Barely Alive. We had Space Laces come through, which was arguably probably the biggest show that we had seen in the city as far as the dubstep community. We took a major step back, yes. But as of right now, with, you know, Riddipeg, Rave Revival, Beanie Bops, once the city kind of reunites and the dubstep scene kind of revives itself, which I think it slowly is, I think the thing that's happening right now is when the dubstep scene kind of died out, a lot of people, and I don't say normal people in any offensive regard, but dubstep is definitely not a normalized genre.
No, it's very underground.
It's super underground. But with the influence of TikTok and the influence of social media, I see a lot more people kind of branching out and trying to enjoy the genre. So maybe in a year's time when, you know, things really start pushing and some of, you know, Riddipeg gets their foot more in the door, and then Rave Revival and like some of the events coming up actually do have some pretty good dubstep acts on them. So we could see a little bit of a turnaround, you know, next summer, depending on how people react to what's coming.
Do you have any plans going out of town for shows?
So nothing officially booked. I've been making my way into getting worked into the Edmonton scene. I do have somebody there that we could be planning something in the spring next year. So that's kind of on the ropes right now. And then I have a tie in Calgary and we're actually working on something as well. So nothing set in stone, but those would be two places where I could see myself playing in the new year.
Oh, man. Like, you're headlining Winnipeg events, like, and you're just doing, like, Flatland Funk, B2B, Scream. Like, you got to get out of Winnipeg. But you still do shows here, but don't move out. But, like, just...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, with the growth of dubstep, and if you were to just leave, what, you know?
Well, no, yeah. So, I mean... with my day job and with like you had mentioned before, I am a chef. So I do still see myself here for a little bit, at least. The main goal is to, obviously everybody's main goal, make it big, be somebody. So for me, my goal for next year is to at least make a show out of town happen, whether that be somewhere small in Canada or, you know, the ultimate goal is to play in the States because the saturation of dubstep in the States is just so much better. Some of my notable goal cities to play in would be Montreal. Minneapolis is like my second home. So trying to get a show down there would be ultimate for me. And then some of the big cities in the States like Denver, LA, even Fort Lauderdale in Florida. I have some friends down there, so that would be a fantastic place to be. But just got to keep working. I'm trying to hunker down in the winter and just really make some music that solidifies me in the scene even further. So
making music is an art in itself. It's like so tough, man. Like,
yeah. Some days it works, some days it doesn't. So
yeah. You just had a Pop Dat release song. It was just released just the other day.
Yeah, actually on that same show day, that came out at midnight and it's been doing okay. It's been doing not so bad on SoundCloud, but I think on Spotify it's actually doing okay. So
it's like your top song now, I think.
Yes, yeah. It actually did take, which is crazy because my Spotify, I find that on Spotify it's hard to reach users without playlists. So I'm proud to say that this song has slowly came up already within the last 3 days and it's already surpassing some of the music that I had on Spotify from a year or two ago. So I can see that one, you know, slowly becoming better on Spotify for me. But yeah, Pop Dat, backstory, it was supposed to be a label release. But the label is going through some changes and I was happy to release it on my own because I'm really proud of it. Kind of showcasing some of the styles that I want to kind of carry into in the, you know, in the near future. And just another song that totally came naturally and just something I wanted to put out. So
you got like 195 followers on Spotify, so you do have a really good following on Spotify.
Yeah, that's came slowly. I've been releasing on Spotify, I would say, for the past 2 years now. I think I only have 5 or 6 tracks out on all platforms. Most of my music lately has been remixes, so of course SoundCloud is kind of the remix king, because you're not legally allowed to upload on Spotify without permissions for a remix. So SoundCloud's been my main source. I think I'm climbing up close to 1,800 followers on SoundCloud.
Wow.
So that's big for me. Getting to 2,000 by the end of the year would be amazing.
The Spotify does have a negative with the...
Yeah, absolutely.
But everybody kind of just has to have it.
Of course, yeah. And I, you know, even me, I'm guilty. I'm not even a Spotify premium user, so...
Neither am I.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of getting the ads, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the... what was I going to say here? Oh, congratulations on the... You're saying they're but that's why. So right now, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we've been together for 9 years, coming up on 10 next year. So there's a lot of big things going on next year. Getting married, turning 30. So that's a big turning point for me. And yeah, she's been amazing with me like since the beginning. I think that's one of my main reasons that I keep, you know, staying in the scene and just keep driving, is because she supports me a lot. And, she's, you know, since the beginning, she's been one of my number one sources for music love. So I could never see myself doing it without her, to be honest.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
I hope I'll be there at your social.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to get your the tickets. Did you bring them?
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, and for any friends listening, I still have some. So
There we go. Well, I forget. What was the date again?
The social's March 27th. So it's going to be a big party. I mean, you know me with music and like, you know, a lot of my friends. So you know that it's going to be basically just a giant party.
You're going to have like a DJ playing?
Yeah,
You should. You gotta at least go up for the
potentially.
Oh yeah,
that'll depend on my condition. So.
who's gonna be playing? You think with your?
So for the social, we actually just have a guy coming in that was like a rental service. Mm. Nothing crazy, but you know, there will be a lot of friends there with USBs. So who knows what's gonna happen during the night? Right?
Weddings are. Manitoba, we have the social.
Nobody outside of Manitoba really knows about them, so I think they're missing out.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. And the beauty about Hostility and Nihility is this show goes around the whole world, even though it's just local, because of our podcasting and online live stream link. And I understand that like all of our some of them not really speak English. But a lot of the time, you can get translations, so people can audio transcribe it. So, and I've been doing my best I can see a vision, everybody's vision, and like I'm just trying to do my part to help get people know about it, like because no,
you know. You know, to be honest, I've been watching you post about this for. You know, since I met you, and just seeing the different, you know, the different types of people that you have support from. And like, I see you reposting a lot of stuff and you're always doing it the right way. Cause in order to get support, you have to show support. And you've been showing support towards not only everybody in Winnipeg's scene, but outside of the scene, you're going out of your way. You make time to, you know, do simple reposts and simple stories, and the stories really do make an impact. That's one of the things about me is I like to do the same thing. It doesn't take long to make a quick post. It doesn't take long to put something on your story, and it goes a long way, especially with music and especially with artists. Oh. So you've been doing it really well with what you've been, you know, what your main goal's been to show love to the city and the scene. And I think that it'll all come around and really like get get rolling soon.
Oh man, thanks man. That means a lot. I've been like working to my absolute hardest. When I first started the show, I had no idea where it would go. January, I had Cam, guitarist from Disgrace the Race, local metal band here in Winnipeg. Cam, giving you a shout out. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate you. I hope you come on next. But we had an interview, and he was asking me, where do you see the show going? And I straight up told him in that interview, I don't know. And I'm really excited to see where it will go, and I don't want to make it into something without knowing what to do. So I was just kind of going around to all these events, trying to meet as much people, and just trying to find a niche that nobody's talking.
You know what? I think you may have found it, because like we had talked about with COVID, I think the niche for dubstep has slowly died out. I wouldn't say it's dead. There's still some really cool fans in the city. I see them out at shows all the time that they'll be there. They'll be showing out their hardest. You know, they'll be dancing like crazy. Yeah. And then you get the ones that I think they show up to the shows, but they don't really know what it's about.
Yeah, they don't know. I'm noticing, like you're saying, there's a lot more different people going to, like, at the Diablo just on Friday, like a couple days ago. There was I saw a bunch of metal guys there wearing like patch jackets and stuff.
Yeah. I think that for them, it's probably not far off of what they enjoy.
Do you think they got the show? Like
potentially.
I don't know. We don't know any.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like with the radio show or with everybody in the city, like I feel like the Winnipeg's small enough where a lot of people know each other, so it's easy to kind of broadcast your message to them, and then eventually it starts like a chain reaction where, you know, if there's an event like Beanie Bops where she's starting out, she's doing her own thing now, eventually people will be like, hey, I just went to this event, or hey, like I played this event, it was really fun. And then eventually that word gets spread and more people should realistically start to take notice of like what's going on. So I hope that's what's happening. I really do. 'Cause like, I want to see this really come around, and like, I want to see people just loving what we're doing.
Yeah. So, really, dubstep, tear out rhythm.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Now, Justin, my really, really good friend, JP, I went to school with him, and I've known him for like 13 years now. Mutual friends, Diced Up and JP, and that's where I, you know, Justin, like, thank you so much. Thank you. Now, do you want to give anybody a shout out?
You know what? I mean, specifically, I want to give a couple shout outs on the stream.
Go for it, yeah.
Number one being somebody I'm playing a show with in January, somebody that I talked to you about on the walk over, my good buddy Alex Roth, Chrometric. Back when I was first learning how to mix, he was one of my mentors with mixing. And it's kind of crazy full circle now, because me and him have been doing this thing for, you know, 5-6 years. I've been producing for just over 3. And he's somebody that I still think about when I come back to it. And it's like, if he didn't help me learn how to DJ, and if he didn't show me some cool things, then I don't think I would have started getting shows. So he really is somebody that I still look up to. Somebody that you should look out for, because he plays some really cool rhythm. He's really great on the decks. His Bring Your Love set this past year was arguably probably the best one of the whole weekend. He played right before me, and he just crushed it. Made me nervous, actually, because like I was ready to go, and then he just killed it. And I was like, damn, I really got to keep the energy.
That's they inspire each other.
Oh, absolutely. Because then I think I came out and I played one of my favorite sets.
There we go.
So it was just like the energy was just rolling that night. And
I've never been to Bring Your Love.
You should. Bring Your Love. You know what? Let's carry on to another shout out. Bring Your Love, Chris Heinrichs, all of those people that put together Bring Your Love. That place is magic. It's a small festival just outside the city. And I can't speak enough about it, because I played there for the first time 3 years ago. And that that moment was just incredible. Just the energy from you know, I think that first year I played, I had maybe 40, 50 people check me out. And the energy was incredible. And then the next year, I ended up playing at, I think, 12 o'clock on the Sunday, last day of the festival. And there was so many people there, and it was cold, and they just showed up. And I just had so much fun. I ended up recording that set that year, and I put on SoundCloud, and it has over 30,000 plays now. So I think that festival has really just inspired me to just not only like keep bringing the energy that I bring, but like it inspires me to, you know, continue playing shows in the city, because it's just, it shows me how many people actually like care, and like the atmosphere there. You'll never meet a bad person at that festival. It really is like Bring Your Love is such a suitable name, because everybody there just loves each other, and it's just so easy to get along with people at the festival. So Chris Heinrichs, just keep making it happen, because like if we lost Bring Your Love, I think the city would lose a lot of love itself.
Well, let's thank you, Chris, and thank you, Alex, for all that you do with Manitoba and the world. Now
inspiring.
No, literally, you know, that brought me I'm speechless from what you just said there.
I think the big thing about this interview that you may not have got from me yet, but you probably had seen it, is that I have a lot of love to give, and I really care about the scene. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been going to shows with my fiance Alyssa for, you know, pretty much 9 years now, and we've seen it all. We've seen a lot of crazy stuff. We've seen a lot of great shows. We've seen a lot of, we met most of our best friends from shows. A lot of my good buddies in the scene are just guys that I would take anywhere with me. And I think, you know, music is one of my biggest happinesses. I couldn't live without music. So just really just, I would hate to see the scene go in a different direction than it is, because I don't see anything really to look forward to sometimes without the shows. So it's just a big source of happiness for me, for sure.
But now there's always, you know, what's the saying, the yin and yang, like what's the biggest struggle you faced as an emerging artist?
I think the biggest struggle, and unfortunately it is a little bit related to the city, is it is hard to branch out here, you know, especially with art, with the genre, like the genre specifically, just being a dubstep guy from Winnipeg. It has its perks for sure, because I get to play some incredible shows in the city. You know, Stephen Hua, he puts on Summer Sound, which I've been lucky to play the past few years. Scream, Frost, Together Again. I've been really lucky to be a part of their roster. And then, like, the Rave Revival guys with, you know, Alex, ACX Money, Carrie, Baby Snakes, those guys bringing me out's great. But I think the hardest thing is not being a DJ here, it's being a music producer here, because we have a lot of DJs, but with the music production, you need to really find somebody to like help you through. And there's only a few of us doing dubstep here. There's only a few of us that are really like trying to make dubstep production happen. So getting seen as an artist, and just, you know, as much music as I've tried to put out, it's been hard to break through. It's been hard to, you know, get those shows outside the city. It's been hard to make those like connections outside the city without seeming desperate or without, you know, wanting to be pushy.
Well, so, when we're doing all these events, taking all these videos and sharing, and like that's gonna really skyrocket. Like, and okay, when you had that microphone at Tap House, that was like the only time I heard you. Like, that was awesome, telling the crowd to drink water and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. That, like, more people have to be communicating with the audience and not just doing that, because then they realize that it's a real person
exactly
behind it.
Yeah, yeah. I it's a big thing for me. Like, I like to show people when I'm up there that I'm not just there for a job. You know, it's to me that this whole thing's not a job. If I could and if I would, like, with all this, like, with all the success and everything, like, I would do it without pay for sure, because I just enjoy it.
I do this without this is exactly. Like, CKUW is all actually volunteer based, and
it's all passion, man. Yeah. Like, if you really like it and if you really just, you know, you have the drive to do it, it's just, and it's fun for you, then it's just such an awesome thing. And with, like you mentioned, with the talking, and, you know, I really like to have that crowd connection, because then I get to meet really cool people. And I feel like if you talk when you're playing, then they feel like you're approachable, and they feel like after the set, you know, they can come talk to you or, you know, come take a picture. Or
this is your host, Eric Sturman, speaking, coming from downtown Winnipeg. Hostility and Nihility, 2 to 3 hours of Monday Metal Madness. A segment brought to you from CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
You know,
I was trying to find you after your set on Friday, and I was just like, I could take a picture with you, but you disappeared.
Man, you know...
A segment brought to you from CKUW 95.9 FM. This is your host, Eric Sturman, speaking, coming from downtown Winnipeg. Hostility and Nihility.
I know I can't make this excuse, but sometimes the days just get to you.
And... absolutely.
Yeah, no, but
it's because memories are we forget them, but pictures are forever.
That's right. Yeah, and you yourself, you do a great job of everything, exposure. You take hundreds of videos, you take great pictures, so I feel like for you that's something that you're gonna be able to hold on to for a while.
Oh man, I was like cooking spaghetti the other day, and I was watching your set. I was going I think I have 30-40 minutes of it. But you know, the thing is, Instagram is, we only like 10-15 seconds,
right?
So like I had the best time cooking spaghetti and watching your set after, just like the, you know, like, I think I'm going to put that whole set on YouTube at some point now. Like, all of the previous episodes are not available, actually. And I'm going to be posting them up on YouTube next year, actually.
Amazing.
Because I didn't want to do that because I never knew how the show would go. I kind of did it from month to month.
Right.
But so next year, 2026, I should be getting some YouTube. Like, then I can, you know, that's, you plant a seed and tree grow, and next thing you know, you have a forest.
YouTube's a fantastic platform that I haven't taken advantage of yet either. And a little sneak peek of what I want to do in the new year, or even in the winter, if it can be possible, is I actually have the social media perks now to start going live on TikTok, and I want to start doing more content. So I'm in the process of investing in some sort of audio stuff so that I can start doing live streams. During COVID, that's a big thing for me, actually, is I used to do live streams on TikTok and Instagram, and I just used to let people watch me DJ because there wasn't a lot of shows at that time, and it was a fun thing for me to do. I would just, you know, I'd just be in my basement, I'd have my stuff set up, I'd crack a couple beers, I'd be just DJing my ass off, and just whoever wanted to tune in, it was, you know, enjoyable for me, enjoyable for them. So something I want to bring back in my spare time over the course of the winter or spring is just get back on live and just start showing people that I'm still having fun doing this, and then, you know, hopefully meet some new people through that as well. So
who in the underground is pushing boundaries in a way that inspires you?
Oh man, great name to bring up right now. My buddy Gideon, White Raven. What a talented kid. He's, you know, he's 18 and he's already got a lot to look forward to. So he's been going through music production lessons with a big name in the scene, Virtual Riot. Virtual Riot has been arguably one of the best music producers through the dubstep scene. A guy that Gideon has really formed his sound around, and White Raven is arguably going to be the biggest name to come out of the city.
Speaking of White Raven, I'm sorry for cutting off there. You're just good. So that I didn't leave my thought there. I have to also give a shout out to White Raven because he was the one that helped me get an opportunity at Tribal Fusion Gathering, Dr. Dust's festival in August. White Raven was scheduled to play, but he couldn't do it, and so Dr. Dust, my buddy Dustin, asked me. He just randomly, like, I think it was super early in the morning. So, like, thank you, White Raven. Like, that was my, like, second show ever with my repressive. That's another thing. Like when I just like the show, I didn't really know where it would go.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I don't think anybody actually truly knows where their path is going to go until it starts to come together. Like for me specifically, when I started DJing, that was a hobby for sure. But then as it slowly became a reality to me that people were actually, you know, they were coming out of their way to see me play, or they were, you know, following me on my SoundCloud or whatever, then it started to really snowball. And now I'm in a phase where I'm making music because I want to make this happen, you know? And
yeah, no, for sure.
For you, as, you know, as a repressive, getting those small shows and getting, you know, just building traction as an artist, meeting these people like myself and White Raven and, you know, Kobe with Riddipeg, like eventually having those connections is going to make a difference for you, especially if you just keep going for it as an artist. So, you know, I can see you going along with us for sure, especially with just how great of a person you are and how supportive you are. It pays off to be friendly. It pays off to be like engaged in conversation. So
man, at my old job, my boss Sean, I don't know if you're listening, Sean, I made my own company. he was the one that was always to tell me, make friends first.
Oh yeah, friends is arguably the most important tool, and like the one of the greatest things you can do as an artist is just be kind and just really, you know, show your support and love to other artists, because at the end of the day, somebody's gonna be there for you, whether it be to take you along with them or just, you know, to have your back in like the moments where you feel like you're struggling or you feel like you're, you know, not, you don't have a vision as an artist. You'll always have somebody there to like support your vision.
I really want to try dubs, like I'm trying. I don't know, like it's very difficult. It's very a niche and very there's a lot that goes on with like just because there you got there's
it's a tough genre.
Yeah, you'll go through different drum beats.
Oh yeah,
and different tempos in the same song.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest with you, I think the biggest breakthrough for me was when I started taking lessons. Mm. I took some lessons with a couple of really good artists in the scene. You know, I spent money to kind of get myself to the next level. And that was really important because that was the first time I had actually invested in myself. And I told myself that if I wanted to like breakthrough, then I needed to invest a little bit into my project. So I took those lessons and they drove me to learning some things that I may not have learned through, you know, YouTube tutorials or just exposure or like watching somebody. Because sometimes, you know, everybody has their own way. Everybody has their own way to do things. Nobody's ever going to do production the same. Nobody's ever going to DJ the same. But at the end of the day, every little bit of new information you receive from somebody is going to help build the blocks towards what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not about asking for shows. It's more about people are giving it.
Yeah.
That's what I notice.
I think it's 50-50. Like at the beginning, there's no shame at all. I think the biggest thing you can do is make those connections, because eventually there's going to be a time where somebody's like, hey, I need an artist for a show. I need an opening slot, or I need a filler because somebody can't do it or whatever. And there's just having your foot there is always, it's always good. Somebody I just recently met, his name's Kyler, and he DJs more tech house, but he would always come up to me after shows and he would, you know, he was a fan of mine and he would always be like, I just bought a deck. I'm starting to learn how to mix. I brought him over to my house a couple times to show him. And I just told him every time he came over, I was like, practice. I was like, just do this on your own time, you know, post some SoundCloud mixes, send people your mixes, send people your music, whatever. Just send whoever you want to show your art to, just show them. Don't even apologize. Just be like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And sometimes you're going to, that's going to be the foot in the door, is just like branching out. You know, I started posting my SoundCloud mixes from my bedroom when I was, you know, 7 years back or whatever. I just started posting on SoundCloud. I would get, you know, 100, 200, 300 plays, like whatever. Not really about it at that time. But then eventually some Winnipeg promoters, you know, you send it, you send your mix to a couple of Winnipeg promoters, and all of a sudden they have you in there. They have you in their mind, right?
For sure. For sure. My brain is my brain is dying right now.
That's okay. We'll have a quick reboot here. There's been a lot to talk about today, which is good. So,
now, is there anything on your mind that you want to talk about?
Personally speaking, I think something that's been on my mind for a while is just what's my next goal, really? Like, what am I going to be up to? And I've been admitting to myself that there hasn't been a lot of inspiration lately. Playing the shows has been amazing. I love playing shows here. But as an artist, I've been desperate to make my next move, make my next big step. And we had talked about it earlier in the show, but I really want to focus on production now. I really want to...
Less shows and more making.
Yeah, like trying to be selective, trying to really kind of find my place and just like... I know right now I'm like one or two songs away from something happening.
Well,
so
what about like a EP, like a album? Oh, what about getting like a CD, like a physical?
That would be neat.
I don't ever see any dubstep doing physical.
No, that's something. That's something. I think EDM in general, you can see it in. I think maybe.
But as a collector, as a new, everybody would love to hold that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like nothing to be sold in the stores, but a super limited run. Like if you're just do like 20 or 30 CDs and have them hand numbered, I think that would actually.
Yeah.
And when you do have your first like physical copy release, you give the first five out free to those who actually really want it.
For sure. I mean, I know who I would for sure. I have some really cool people that I'm sure would love to get their hands on that.
And then if you had just the five, that makes it more
it's just unique. It's something really collectible. So
who does your art?
So I have a guy on Instagram that does most of my EP or sorry, my, most of my album art. He goes by Destruct Graphics, somebody that I met kind of down the road when I was first releasing music. And he's amazing. I don't think he's even from North America. Actually, I'm pretty sure he is from South America. I want to say
you should get your artwork delivered to you in the mail so you can have it.
Yeah, coming into this conversation, actually a dream of mine for a while, and I have a vision for it, is that I do want to make an album soon. Physical is a different story, but I want to make like a 3-4 track album. I really want to like push myself to finish like 3 or 4 songs and have a debut EP out sometime next year. It's going to be, the only thing I can really say now is my vision is going to be kitchen related, because that's what I am. I am the chop guy. So I have a vision for a few track titles, and I think, you know, coming into the winter, I want to actually start working towards having a few songs to kind of put together for that. So,
I think that Chop Shop was where we met.
Yeah,
yeah,
it definitely was. And sorry, the theme around the Chop Shop comes from my vision for like the album and like music. I want to really stay on brand. You know, Diced Up as a brand right now is not only kitchen related, but the way I work the decks and the way I write my music, I want it to be really hard. I want it to be really like choppy and aggressive. And the way I play my music, you know, something signature about me is that I like to really work my way around multiple tracks at the same time. So if you ever see me on the decks, you'll always see me using multiple channels, mixing in between these songs vigorously, trying to make like a blend. You know, in the scene it's called a double or even a triple. is where you play multiple tracks at the same time and you make them sound good together. So that's kind of a signature thing for me, is just finding good songs that fit each other and making them play out at the same time to make like one track out of two.
Then you're mixing them live on...
Fully live.
How do you get all that? It takes a lot of work to build and find all those songs. And to, like, you obviously don't have the same set every show.
No. Yeah, I usually, when I get booked for a show, I'm usually planning these sets out at least a week in advance. So in Rekordbox, I have my playlists built specifically in an order where I know what tracks I want to follow each other. Mm. And then with those doubles, I actually physically, first of all, test them out. Like, I'll make sure that I'm on my DJ unit and I'm making sure they actually fit together, staying within the same like key range, BPM range. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just practicing. I'm just finding songs that work together, and like, you know, fresh music. When I'm formulating these sets, I'm looking for music that people haven't heard before. I'm looking for music that I love, and I'm just kind of bringing it all together to make one big. And as you know, by me, I like to keep a really energetic set going. So I have no shame in saying this. I like to tire the crowds out. I like them to like come there and just spend their energy on me and just go to, you know, go hard. 'Cause like, that's what I would do if I was in the crowd.
Oh man, I've been exhausted every time after a show. Like I'm so tired right now. Like on
still
Friday, I went to you, and then I was at the Ingested at the park yesterday. And, you know, I'm trying to, what if like there could definitely be like, more moshing in dubstep, because it's equally as hard. And like the logo is very scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you kind of look, because you're a little bit newer into the dubstep scene yourself.
Skrillex was my first in 2012, but I was in the metal scene for up until my shattered elbow. And it's the disgrace, my guitar playing.
Yeah.
It makes me too sad.
Well, I think what I was getting to is, have you ever taken the time to look into some of the US shows? Have you ever watched videos online or anything?
No.
You should dive into some of these shows and see the moshing and see the walls of death.
Oh.
Because there are some, like, it's
hell yeah.
In Winnipeg.
Hell yeah.
In Winnipeg, it's not really a thing.
Okay, man. Ingested yesterday, the Park Theater, the wall of death. Okay, Winnipeg, we got to fix that with our metal show, with our metal scene. I made a 5-star review, Park Theater, yes. But the wall of death, there's a video, like, very like, come on, Winnipeg. Like, it was the worst wall of death, like, ever.
Unfortunately, it's the same in the dubstep scene. I encourage you, after, like, if you're free tonight, even go on YouTube, search up guys like Sudden Death, Nimda. I'll send you some.
I had sudden, like, the on the last two episodes ago.
Yeah, but go out of your way and go on YouTube and just search up like Sudden Death Wall of Death or Nimda Pits or something, because there's some crazy.
Oh, man.
There's some crazy there.
It's fun raging hard at the shows, going crazy like that, because you got to put your energy to something, and then the artists can feel that, and